The BBC presents My Music. A radio panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here's Steve Race to introduce the teams.
Yes, My Music, with two teams locked in mortal musical combat. On my right, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. On my left, John Amis and Frank Muir. We begin this week with some duets. It doesn't matter, gentlemen, what the song is. I want simply the names of the duettists. Ian Wallace, you first. I had to leave the coda in because it's Andre Previn, and you don't cut Andre Previn. Right, Ian, who were they?
You say that's Andre Previn playing the piano. And it is a duet that is associated with celebrities.
Well, I always associated with you until this one, actually. We'll go into that in a moment.
The celebrity I was thinking of was Harry Secom, with whom I once sang it in this very studio in a programme. And he insisted, it was live on the air, insisted on seizing me between the verses and waltzing me all round the studio. We only just got back to the microphone in time. Both of us so out of breath that we couldn't sing the next.
You also did it with Harry on television. I remember that in one of his shows.
Yes, I think
well.
I did.
No.
Yes.
You don't know who they are.
Well, let's take the tenor first.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, let's take the lower voice first. Owen Wingrave having a night off, perhaps.
Oh, Benjamin Luxon.
For half a mark, all right, yes. Benjamin Luxon with Robert Teer, who was the upper voice of the two, Previn at the piano, the gendarmes duet, but as you said, of course, associated for most of us with Harry Secom.
I once met Harry Secom, and he looked up at me and said to him, I used to be like you, you know, but I was struck by a lift.
Yeah, as I said, a nice man, Harry. Well, back to the quiz, back to Dennis Norden. Who are these duettists?
Start to this programme. I haven't got the they know in Dulwich College, I can tell you that, because we've got a party of Dulwich College blokes here who immediately turned to one another and sort of gripped each other by the forearm.
Well, I'm surprised I remember these two, actually.
Did you know? You knew, didn't you? Who is it?
No. I'll give you their Christian names.
Yeah?
Dennis. They're Donald and Philip.
Is that the...
Uh-huh.
The Everleys.
Say it, yes.
The Everley brothers.
Right. A clue, I had to give you a clue, so half a mark to you out of one. The Everley brothers, yes, Donald and Philip, radio and TV. John Amis, who are these two?
Alfred Della and his son Mark.
Yes, that's right. Very fine couple. Frank Muir, another singing pair for you. Frank.
the well-known voices of Pinky and Perky.
Pinky and Perky, yes. Right. Yes. Before you run down the song, I have to tell you I wrote the song.
Well, nobody's perfect.
Nobody's perfect, as you say. It's interesting. You know those... Well, only too well, of course, Frank. Those records are made by speeding up normal people's
Who
voices, as you might say.
Pardon? Who sings them?
I don't know, actually. I don't know. But we're about to play a dirty trick on Pinky and Perky and slow down that record to half speed and show you what happens. I can tell you, before we just hear it, something rather interesting technically. When you record at slow speed for playing back at double speed, you have to pronounce the sounds very distinctly for some reason, and then it sounds normal on the recording. You'll notice that, I think, as we listen to Pinky and Perky at half speed. Here they are.
Put all the flags out, pop the champagne cork, for it's a celebration day.
Neither Pinky nor Perky nor their swineherd will ever speak to me again after this. Right, that's the end of the first round. Frank's got a mark there. We come to some miscellaneous questions. Ian Wallace, back to you. On stage at Covent Garden, he played the broken-down piano in Wozzeck. Off stage, he composed The Moon and Sixpence, again for Covent Garden, and his more recent opera, The Visitors, was commissioned for Aldborough and performed at Sadler's Wells. Who is he?
Ah, well, you gave a very... It's John Gardner.
It's John Gardner, indeed, yes. Sir John Barbarolli conducted his first symphony. He followed Herbert Howells, who, of course, followed Gustav Holst at St. Paul's Girls' School as music master there. And I'm delighted to say he's here in the audience tonight. And if you clap, I think he'll stand up. Will he? John.
He looks very well after teaching music in a girls' school.
Dennis, following an earlier programme, I had a letter from a lady in Willesden in northwest London who apparently was unwise enough, this is absolutely true, to go into a record shop and ask the man behind the counter, "Have you got a fine brown frame?" Question two is, why and when did she ask that question? Have you got a fine brown frame?
Well, the song was... Yes. Well, Nellie Latcher sang it. Of course, you could have asked for it any time. Really.
Well, yes, but the time everybody was asking for
would
it was
be
roughly...
around about early 1950, I think.
Yes, that's right. 1949, early 50s, that's right, yes. Incidentally, you get two marks there. Incidentally, she said, "Have you got a fine brown frame?" And the man replied, "No, lady, just a small, white, skinny one." John Amos, another listener, this time in Clacton, sent me some parody words that I rather liked, and I read them to you. Seated one day at the organ with an audience ill at ease, I pulled out the stock-marked bird song and the one called Autumn Breeze. I switched on the rosy lighting, and when all was ready to start, I added a touch of thunder, and the organ fell apart. I have no idea where it came from. It's rather sweet, isn't it? Your question, John, on a normal four-manual organ, can you please name the manuals? What are they called?
Oh. That's good. Solo.
Yes.
Duet.
God.
No. No, no. You're not going to know.
Positive.
No, no. No, you mustn't accentuate the positive.
Diapason.
That's a kind of organ. No, that's a kind
I'm
of...
I'm getting mixed up with the stop.
It's an organ stop, yes.
Swell.
Yes, all right, the swell. Yes, that's two out of four. I must stop you there. One mark out of two. The other two, the great, the choir. The great, the choir, the swell, and the solo. Frank, I'm going to read a statement. Is it true or false? And why? Statement is this. The American song South of the Border was first published in the same year as the British song The White Cliffs of Dover. True or false?
False.
And pourquoi?
Because if it was true, there'd be no point in asking the question.
Absolutely right.
Beyond that, I cannot go.
Have you anything else to say on the subject? Nothing?
Not really, no.
South of the Border was an international hit in 1939, White Cliffs of Dover in 1941. But the point of the question is that South of the Border was written here in Britain, while White Cliffs of Dover was an American song. As you can tell from the line, "And Jimmy can go to sleep in his own little room again."
Yes.
Very American type for sentiment. Anyway, we press on. It's time for my piano medley. It's the only time when the contestants use pen and paper. apart from doodling in anguish now and again. This time they write down the titles of the pieces that I string together. 3 marks available for each side. In other words, half a mark per title. So it's Ian and Dennis working together. You, first of all, your medley. Right, that's the end of my first medley. Ian, did you, or Dennis, you might have got the first one.
It's All Right With Me.
Yes, that's the title, place. Yes, yeah. That's the first one. Good, then came...
Well, I've got down...
I wonder how you spelt it.
Yes, exactly. I spelt it, it's got Hutcher.
Hutcher. Yes, or sometimes known as Dark Eyes or Black Eyes. Yes, okay, for that one. Next one.
Well, I've got...
With a Smile and a Song.
Yes, good. Then came the one you won't know. Ian might. Any of these bright boys from Dulwich College know what that was? No, it came from Weber's Oberon Overture, didn't it, John?
Oh, Titania.
Then came a real old stager.
Roll along, covered wagon,
yes.
Roll along.
Stagecoach, wagon, that's right. And a little bit of...
Policeman's... Look out, boys.
Policeman's
chorus.
Yes, policeman's chorus. 5 out of 6, 2.5 marks out of 3. Very good. And over to the other side, a medley for John and Frank. Right, John, Frank, John, you must have got the first one, I should think.
Invitation to the Dance.
Yes, or to the waltz, some people would say, yes.
The same bloke, Weber.
Yes, that's right. Then came...
Rhapsody in Blue.
Thank you, a little bit of. Then, Invitation to the Waltz time.
Oh,
no, there was another one before then.
No, there wasn't.
There was.
Oh, missed it. There was that one, Sissy, playing behind his back. Artist's Life.
Ho-ho.
Artist's
ho,
Life.
Antonio.
Then, Antonio, yes. Then...
What's a rotten trick?
Well, that's life, yes.
Then it's then, After the Ball is Over.
After the Ball, yes. And finally...
Sweet Annie Laurie.
Not yes, quite, my. No.
Nevertheless, enough of it.
No, because only Annie is right, you see. It wasn't...
Annie?
No, it was something else, Annie, somebody else. No.
I don't know any other Annie.
Really can't give you it, can I?
Well, you anybody, could. I mean,
anybody in the audience know what the last tune was? Yes.
That's right.
Little Annie Rooney,
right,
it was. Shall we give him the half mark?
Yeah.
All right, then. 2.5 to you as well.
Sweetie Mickey Rooney is my sweetheart.
Time for a touch of opera, I think.
Oh,
Ian,
good.
Ian Wallace. Ian, what is this, and why does it sound so muffled, so distant?
I expect the terrible thing happened to him that happened to me one night in the opera house, and that was that I went in confidently thinking that I was going to do Dr. Bartolo in The Barber of Seville. And they came through the tannoy and they said, "Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. The cast for Tosca this evening." Sacristan Ian Wallace. Now, the sacristan is on in about 5 minutes after the start with no overture at all. And Panic stations was understatement of what took place in that dressing room. And, of course, it could have been that that gentleman was caught, as I nearly was, with his vest over his head, having thought that he was going to sing another opera.
You could have been clad as Votan or something, couldn't you, with your horns on.
In fact, he was that fellow was perfectly within his proper position, because this is sung before the curtain rises, and for some reason is sung behind the curtain.
Yes, by...
A character called Turidu.
Yes,
in the half of Cav and Pag, yes, that goes on first.
The former Cavalleria. Half, yes. Cav, that's right. Cavalleria Rusticana. Two crisp marks for Ian Wallace, yes, absolutely right. Dennis, Cav, as it's known in operatic circles, is really a two-act opera, but the composer insisted that the curtain remain up between the acts. Why was that?
Well, because he wasn't going to have that bloke singing the same song with the curtain down. you know, they should give an encore. I really haven't the faintest idea about it. Why does the curtain remain up?
And I think the answer is the truth, and it's absolutely charming. The fact is, the composer had entered it for a competition for a one-act opera, and with two acts, it wouldn't have been eligible. That is the truth. And, in fact, it's the famous intermezzo that, you know, from Cavalleria Rusticana that separates the act, or rather, I suppose you could say, joins them. My problem, audience, is how many marks out of two for Dennis?
Nine.
How many do you think? One. One out of two, yes. One. John Amos, for your two marks, two names, please. The name of the character in the opera and the name of the singer on this recording.
Nice tune, sung by Callas.
Yes, Maria Callas, yes.
I'm blowed if I know what it is.
Well, the character singing it in the opera? The part of...
Well, since I don't know the tune, I don't know the composer, I don't know the...
You don't know...
Anything.
Cav. No.
Cav.
Do you happen to know, Ian?
Well, it's the same opera, surely.
Yes, it is, yes.
Cavalleria.
Yes, but the character...
The mother, you know the story, is
yes,
the
but
English.
The character is what I
know. Oh, goodness, there's one called Lola, and
Santuzza.
It's not that one.
Santuzza, and that was John's voice, so John gets... What made you think of that? Well, never mind. No. You've got the two marks. Santuzza
and when I said Lola, it was like, you know, the back overlapping with the wing half. Yeah.
Process of cognition, I think, yeah.
Frank, this is a rather aggressively masculine bit from Cav. When you've heard it, will you please tell us what's happening, what the song is about?
Il cavallo scalpita, isola gli squilla, schiappi la frusta e la... Soffi il vento gelido, cada l'acqua nevichi, a me che cosa fa... Il cavallo scalpita, isola gli squillano, schiocchi la frusta e là, schiocchi la frusta e là.
Well, he's a rifle range attendant. And he's describing the action of the opera where he believes that his mistress is going out with this barber whose father might be a duke. And that last night he posed as a statue in the grounds in order to observe her with a bucket of whitewash flung over him. And this Japanese lady... Oh, you've written something at last, have you? I can give it to you in one word, Steve. Jealousy.
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 Can't really do that. The only chap you missed out was Hans Sachs, really. One out of two, I think, rather like Dennis. One for ingenuity. No, it's Ronaldo Paniai, however he pronounces his name. In fact, it was Alfio in the opera singing about the happy life of a carrier. And he was bashing his horse at the time.
Plague carrier.
Herbert von Karajan, actually. We come now to the culinary part of the programme. It concerns, gentlemen, cheese. Speaking of someone who's very fond of cheese, I was delighted to find out the other day that there really is an official public relations organisation called the Cheese Board. Two marks to you if you can think of a suitable signature tune for the cheese industry. Slight pause while Ian, who has the misfortune to be first, has a quick think. Ian, a signature tune of some sort for the cheese industry.
Oh, dear.
While you're waiting, Ian, I'll just tell the listening audience that the idea was suggested to me, this is a bizarre fact, by a Radio Times photographer named Don Smith, who said, I've got a lovely idea for your series by music, and this was it. Right, Ian, have you thought?
I think this is possibly one that might have thought up for them by some rival organisation, yes. Which would go tea for two with port salut and Danish blue and me and phew.
That's nice. Yeah. Dennis, you've had more time.
Yeah, well, that doesn't always help. The trouble is, the songs I think of, nobody else has ever heard of. Do you remember a song that Bobby Howes used to sing that went, cheese, my lovely...
Yes, I just thought of it.
Did you?
I have to think of another one, Frank.
I jotted, the best things in life are brie.
Oh, that's right. Yes, that's right. Lovely, too, to you. It's John, a cheese song.
Well, saving your grace, Mr. Wallace, what about cheese, glorious cheese, Camembert, Stilton, it all seems to please. So follow me, follow, right down to Cheddar, and there let us gorge on biscuits.
You've had time to write practically an opera there, haven't you? Well done, yes, two to you. Frank, cheese.
Toying with Charles Aznavour. Cheese, les camemberts, et puis les prix. I decided to say, run, rabbit, run.
Well, everybody's got two marks there.
Would it be permissible to do cheese's sliced super scoff?
We're going to have some singing from the contestants now to round off the show. Ian, as always, save until last. Dennis, your turn. What happened when stars in the sky were dancing a night perfect for romancing? Or romancing. Stars in the sky were dancing. Yes.
One night perfect for romancing. Mm. A great song. Yes. The night a sinner kissed an angel. He wanted thrills. She wanted love.
That's it, yes. Two marks for you. The night a sinner kissed an angel. John, answer in song, please. Of course, how many are going to sleep according to a Pekin prince? I'll give you a chord.
Il mio mistero è chiuso a me. Il nome mio da nessun saprà, no, sulla tua bocca lo dirò, quando la luce splenderà.
That's true enough. No one sleeps when you're around. Ness and Dormer. Yes. Frank, under what circumstances are you planning to be visible for miles? Visible for miles.
You will find me on the tiles. You will find me wreathed in smiles. And if the blooming...
I'm going to get so lit
with
up.
With any bit of blooming luck, I'll be visible for miles. We're going to get lit up. When the lights go up in London.
That's it. Yes, that's right.
We're going to get lit up as we've never been before.
And we
And before the party...
Through the day and...
oh, well,
signal
yes.
beacon.
2 marks. One for starting, the other for
Land
stopping. Ian, Dennis's song was about stars, and so is yours, as it happens. Only stars above you to say I love you. Can you please carry on from there to the end? I'll lead you in. I'm afraid my desert is waiting and our time's up. This week it's a victory by 1.5 marks for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Dennis Norton, and Ian Wallace. The questions were compiled by our chairman, Steve Race, and the program was produced for the BBC by Tony Schreier.